Welcome back. Episode 98 of Coffee and Shell. You know, gone but not forgotten. We decided to show up to work and record a podcast. It is myself and Stu. No Papa or Benny in the background. I guess we can open with that a little bit. But you don't want to take a second. Myself, since my kiddo was born, just so early, man. I go to bed at like 9 p.m., those boys are out in the West Coast. It's really hard to sync up times and record late at night. So me and Stu, him being someone who just doesn't sleep because he's a cyborg, able to do it in the morning. This is a real Coffee and Shell moment. You know, I'm actually drinking coffee in the a.m. because we're doing this at 8 in the morning Eastern time, 7 a.m. Central. So they'll be on at some point throughout the year for sure. But for the meantime, for the next little while, just for flexibility to try and be able to, record. I think we're going back to just me and you for a little while through the summer. But we've had a ton of happen, my man. What's new with you, man? What's new with you?
Not much. It's been super busy with work. We had to let somebody go there. So it's just kind of like picking up some of the stuff that he was not doing.
That's
the
worst.
Supposed to be doing. And with the family business, it's always that way where, you know, it's not exactly super corporate-y. So, you know, you kind of...
And work doesn't shut off. You get to take it home. That's the worst. Exactly. That's the worst about being
self-employed. I have been actually like more tired mentally, which is weird because usually like you said, I'm weird. Like, and I still can stay up and everything. It's just, I feel it more now because I'll drive home. And the minute I sit in my car in the seat, I'm like, zero. Yep. Like it just like zaps out of me. And I'm like, why is this happening? And then I realized like, oh, it's because of all this like weird, unnecessary stress that came up, and I didn't even realize like I stress, like, because I feel like I try not to stress, like it's like, but you just do it anyways as a human, and I'm trying my best to
power through it.
Yeah, battle power through it,
dude,
right?
Exactly. The last 3 months, I feel you. We'll talk about it a little bit more as it involves the world championship, but man, the travel for me this year was all in one point, like 6 week stretch. And, blessed to go to the places I got to go to, but, it's hard to be away from your family, especially when you have a kid, and, it just absolutely wiped me. And the last 3 months, really been focusing on like health and finding a balance that you can do daily. Dude, I'm asleep by 9:30 every day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Now.
I think I texted you like court at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night my time. So it would have been like 12 midnight your time, maybe 11 o'clock your time. And you're like, brother, I just got up to pee. Like, I never would see this. And that's when I kind of knew, like, okay, you know, the podcast.
We got to make an adjustment.
The podcast is going to probably have to change a little bit because you're like, I'm just trying to. And listen, like, there's nothing wrong with like, I don't take care of myself great with like sleep. I know I don't. And sleep is very important. So. I mean, I'm not knocking you for, going to bed. Like, it's smarter, especially when you have a job like yours where you're kind of like, I can set up my schedule this way.
Yeah. I've always been a night hawk too, man. Like, I've always stayed up to like 1 a.m. And everything changes when you have a kid. It's such a cliche thing, but like, there's no way around it. Like, everything just changed. He's up at like 7.
And maybe when the new game comes out, like, you'll change it again.
Won't sleep. Like, that, I already know that's what'll happen.
Yeah, but like leading into that will kind of lead into like the no GWC. Like, it's obviously everyone saw that the game and world championships are on pause, they say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens long term. But I was going to say with you, it kind of creates a different setup for you. I mean, you were super involved with it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like it's bittersweet, probably, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, the NHL World Championship, they announced in their Discord that. It was via the NHL, one of the Rivals admins. Rivals was the website that ran it. Put out a statement basically saying that, you know, the NHL 25 World Championship, they're putting it on pause, or the World Championship, they're putting it on pause. First time in 7 years. I think that this kind of just shows, the landscape of esports as a whole is going through a big reduction in money and attention. And we'll get into that as well. But so it is taking a pause from this year. Won't be happening, at least for this season. I think the term pause is positive in the sense that it's not done forever. They're not announcing that it's over. And it's always more difficult to build something brand new when it comes to an organization of that size, like the NHL, than it is to kickstart whatever they had going before. I'm a pessimist when it comes to this industry, so I don't know if it'll ever come back. But it was a fantastic run. I put out a pretty lengthy tweet. It was sad, but you're right. It was a little bittersweet because I remember when NHL esports was like starting, much like when my career was starting, and GWC was a big part of it, but all the club tournaments and all the smaller tournaments, there had been nothing going on in NHL esports, and then there was this boom, and every tournament was interesting, and everyone watched. And as it came along, everyone just expected more and more out of the GWC, and the club tournaments and smaller tournaments were just an afterthought. You know, you won a tournament for $5,000. That's like $5,000 playing video games in a day is huge. And it was just like whatever, because it's not right. The GWC, right? But let's talk about like the HUD implications, because You're right. I think the one thing that's interesting, the last 2 years I've kind of spent focusing my HUD content on casual players, because I learned, you know, I think in NHL 22, that was when the AP gate happened. And one of the things that stuck with me within that was I kept getting comments in my videos being like, you only care about like the competitive players. And at the time, NHL 21 was my best game. I'd almost qualified for GWC, so I was like hyper trying to be as good as I can. It was my only focus, and when I would release content about what cards were good, and I would hammer cards that had no use, not realizing that 99% of the player base doesn't really care about GWC or NHL esports, because it's, you know, they just play the game for fun. And now we talked about this a lot. What happens to the competitive scene when GWC goes away? You know, what's the interest? Like, where do you, and you're someone that only played HUT because of GWC. So I guess we could start there on a, you know, 30,000, you know, foot view. When you heard the GWC was done, what was your first like thought about the game and how you're going to play it?
This doesn't sound awful to say. Kind of relieved. I say relieved because I was talking, it's kind of funny. I had no clue this was going to happen.
Honestly, I didn't either. Oh, by the way, I want to get that out there. I got a call the day before the news drop. They, you know, I've been involved for a long time. They just wanted to give me a heads up. So I didn't know like months in advance or anything like that. I literally found out the day before the Discord thing. So go ahead.
And I don't think Kevin, who ran it, maybe we get him on eventually about this.
Yeah, that'd be cool to get like a retrospective
history or whatever. But I was talking to Kevin like probably 2 months ago about things that I would do to improve it next year. And so he was like already preparing for next year. So this even came up, I think, on his end too, kind of. I think it was somebody mm-hmm. from higher up, like we talked about.
Yeah.
So I was just, I just want the best tournament for everybody. I'm not going to win. I'm going to partake in it, but I want the best tournament for everybody because I want to see the best players there. I want to see the best players, you know, get chances at least at winning. So I was trying to come up with some things to, you know, possibly help him and out with everything. And from my standpoint, me and you talked about this probably like a few weeks ago. I was like, dude, I want to be able to play this game like MLB. I want to get on and just play online games and not feel like I have to, you know, grind moments mm-hmm. and grind squad battles and make my whole lineup full of guys for like 20 squad battle games. Even though they're meaningless games, it still takes time. And like, I just want to get on and play and In MLB, I can get on and play, and I still have like 500,000 stubs. I finished the whole collection, and I don't ever feel a need of like, oh my gosh, I really got to get on today to grind, you know, and I have to really play today. Where I know NHL is a completely different sports game, a different company and everything. It's just, I was telling you already, I was like, there's got to be a way to do it. Like, maybe I just do like an only like a Blues team or only 6'4" and taller team. I don't have to chase McDavid and McKinnon and... maybe I do that. You know, I was trying to come up with like different things mm-hmm. and I really couldn't think of it. So I see the game and like, we'll kind of go into that with the game is, you know, I still will probably play HUD as of right now. I don't know. I haven't seen the game. Nothing's come out. Right. Like we're looking forward.
It's been pretty quiet. Yeah. It should be pretty soon that we'll get something, on the game changer front. Usually we get, it's getting later and later. I just realized it's almost July 1st. Usually we would get it in May. And it's been, you know, last year, I think we got it in like July and like the alpha and, I haven't got it yet. So I'm assuming we'll probably get it sometime shortly, but, yeah, I haven't said anything about 25 yet.
Yeah. And I messaged, one of the guys at EA and I was like, well, bittersweet, but time for the leaderboards.
Like, that's, you know, yo, in my tweet at the very end of it, I said that one of the positives from this is it forces EA's hand to give something to the competitive players. I think one of the issues is that it's the, like, ESHL is propped up by League Gaming and Sports Gamer in Europe. And so they don't have to, there's no rush or urge to, like, reward, you know?
We had a podcast discussing this exact topic. Me and you are proponents of the, don't get me wrong, guys, money tournaments are cool, whatever, the money on the line, I've played in them, I've done them, it's fine, I'm not knocking it. It's just, I want to go back to the roots of what we gained for. I miss it so much. I miss getting on and playing for a stupid virtual number next year. I say stupid because it really means, I know they're not going to, there's not anything that's going to be like in the Guinness Book of World Records for you or anything, but it's just more of the fact we would get on. It was just the it's almost the kid in you again.
You can, like, log in to like NHL 14 and go to like the versus leaderboards and your name's still there. Like that's sick. Like that's cool.
But it was just cool. Like we would play for nothing back then and money changes everything, right? Yeah. Like everyone always says that money, power, you get the whole thing. Like it not even just video games, like in life, right? Like money changes everything. I get it. And for good and bad, right? But and a lot of times bad, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I feel like, and then it created, like you said, like a sense of entitlement. Like
it's a lot of it. That was this year. There was again, I've been more and more disconnected because, and like that's something that I didn't really like about myself involved with the tournament. I had gotten to I remember in 2018, I watched the event, didn't even know what it was, didn't compete in it, and I was like, I got to be involved in this. And I spent like the next 7 years grinding, and I got to like the peak of what I could do, you know, being the voice of it. But during those times early on, I was like involved with, I don't want to pat myself on the back saying like I built NHL esports. That's not the case. I was a broker. Basically early on in 2020 and right after, even 2019, which is the golden year of NHL esports in my opinion, because the GWC was in its second year, had its most hype, and then every club ran an event, and all those events, because there had never been an event before, like, was just, everyone paid attention. It was new. It was.
I drove up to Detroit in the middle of the night to play it was the Red Wings crazy, tournament because crazy. There was nothing else, and I was really good at the time, so I wanted to do it because it was a big deal. But to go off what you're saying is, it lost its luster.
That's the issue.
Not all in the NHL though. No. There's COVID. There's just the tiredness of it being 7 years old. EA, the game not being good. But you could just see it. I mean, like, and part of it's they did so good, honestly, the first few years.
It's almost like
the Arizona Coyotes. You play in this downtown arena, even though it wasn't perfect, the Suns arena, and then it's packed, top 10, and, you know, you're doing great. Attendance, whiteouts, then they go to Gila. Then they go to the college arena, and it kind of like did that a little bit, you know. And we're playing in the Luxor in Vegas, and everyone knows it. It's on NBC. Part of it's there's another thing that the partnership with NBC is gone. Like not the NHL's fault. It's just the way it went, you know. And the game didn't use NBC. Like you've talked about that with the game. You miss NBC. You miss Doc being in the game and the presentation. Then you go down, and it starts to go lower and lower and lower. And like I said, not knocking them, but you know, we ended up in a freaking.
In the store, like the so, but this year I felt that there was an entitlement from the player base where it felt like this tournament was just their God-given right every year, and if it wasn't this grandiose spectacle, that why do we even care? And a lot of people are going to get a reality check this year when it's gone, and I don't think that's a bad thing because it resets expectations and interest, and it was unsustainable in the sense that in the first 2 years, I would love to see that bill. Again, I wasn't part of it. And in 2019, I went. Like, I remember Cookie was staying at the Wynn in a suite. Like, I can't even imagine the price tag on that. You know, and just the studio in the U.S. in Connecticut, they went to Sportsnet in Canada, right? Like, it was just unbelievable, but they didn't know what they had. And I truthfully believe, I remember when I went in 2019, again, I paid my way there. I went to all the events. I was a guest of a player, multiple players. I was Penn's guest. And before I was able to like work my way in. And I remember them talking with like the EA competitive team that was doing Madden's Club Championship, which is now gone, I believe. Like the Madden Club series is now over. And
I had no clue about that.
Same. They just do the club ones. I believe is over. I don't want to be because I don't watch it a lot or pay attention to it. But I, from my understanding, that's gone. And you had like the plans for it pre-COVID was insane. Like it looked like it was on this trajectory, and COVID just halted. Because if you remember the COVID year, they announced like it was like 75,000 to first place. Like, something insane. The prize pool was nuts in year three. COVID happened, and they had to just do it online. And it was separate, and, you know, and then it was all, you know, all kind of... And the issue is that when you... I'm learning this by when I made Hut Hub, and, like, and with LG Interest, and he's very knowledgeable in business and things like that. And it's like, if you offer the consumer a product or something for free or, you know, exponential amount of money, you can't ever take it away. And so you've got an unsustainable amount of money that is being given away for the prize pools. You've got venues that are unsustainable. And then you have a ridiculously huge reduction in interest in not just NHL esports, but esports in general. You're seeing it in the NBA 2K League. You're seeing it in the COD League. You're seeing it in Overwatch, like all of the biggest esports leagues. We went through the biggest period in our history, probably, of interest in esports in terms of marketing dollars, because companies had nothing to spend their marketing dollars on during COVID, and all of it went into video games. And then you had everyone at home, all they did was watch Twitch and play video games. Like, and
well, and people didn't probably before they the esports was kind of like new, right?
Yeah, it was
like not maybe new, but it was new to these games, right? Yeah. And then
it was new to the general consumer. It was
you
have
to
consumer.
See what works and doesn't work, and I think they found that out, not to say the hard way, but they found it out. You know, they it's like they blew their, you know, and then they were like, oh, okay, let's scale it back a little bit, because you learn.
And that's the problem. So when you scale it back, then the player base expects more, not less, and then the general perception is, this sucks, why are we doing it? And it's just like, well, that was what I meant by entitlement. And that's...
You know what always cracked me up about that, though, Sleazy, is... Not to be like a jerk, but I know when you went to the SportsNet studio, you were like, holy crap, this is like where Kipper, this is where these guys have been at. And you're like thinking about you, not to knock the kids that are there, but a lot of them don't really care about real hockey. Not a lot of them really cared about the fact that, oh my God, I'm at the NBC studios playing a freaking video game. I don't think a lot of them really cherish that much. I think a lot of them was just like, well, what's the price pool? It's only 45K? Okay, like, I'm sorry, I'm doing my Charles Ferris.
You're doing nipping right there.
But you know what I mean? Like, because I would always be like, guys, like, you got to play there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
but the format sucks. It's like, okay.
And that leads to another issue, because I kind of got desensitized to that stuff over the last four years. And that, you know, like, that happens because, like, I mean, I went to MSG four times this year. And the venue is incredible. I got to see the Panthers play the Rangers in the regular season. I have a tweet saying, I hope this is a playoff matchup. And it ended up being a great one. But I think that when you've got the same players, this was the issue, one of the bigger issues with the tournament. The tournament was to get a younger audience involved in the NHL, get excited about the NHL. And a very easy way to do that is video games. The thing I've been saying for the last 5 years, the NHL video game skews so much older than every other sports game, I feel. Like, I saw a thing where the average age of the player in Hut was like 27. And what checks out is I'm not a competitive player. I don't even find myself super entertaining a lot of the times. And if I'm the one person in Hut getting the most views on YouTube and Twitch statistically over the last couple years, like... There's a reason. It's because I'm 35 and I relate with all the older guys playing the game. Like that, I truly believe that that's why I've been able to do pretty well, is just because I'm older than a lot of the players. And the issue is that with NHL esports is we're getting the same like 10 guys and they're just a year older. So they're not even getting younger. Like the tournament's not getting younger. And that's an issue for the NHL because, you know, they obviously want the best player to win. You know, maybe it doesn't show in the format and things like that, but it's still something that they, you know, they want the best competition. But at the end of the day, it was to get newer people eyes on hockey. And I think that the what I'm seeing now from going to these events and getting invited to some of the creator things, they're doing a big shift. Like there is a circuit of like Coach Chippy and yeah. Swaggy P and Nasher. Not so much. I actually think Nasher's outgrowing it a little bit. But the bench guys, like a lot of the creators. I went to the All-Star event this year for GABC. And I got invited to the creator skills competition, and I was one of the coaches. And I, so like, I didn't do anything. It was just like a figurehead thing. But like, you go, and I had like Zach Bell on my team, and it was one of the best things I've seen the NHL do with creators. It was they had hundreds of fans in downtown Toronto, just playing hockey and doing crazy dekes and things like that, 3-on-3. And it was a blast. And I was like, man, they've really got something here because there were so many kids. I saw so many people. Like KVG was there, you know, Nick the goalie, like all those guys. And the you don't, as a video game creator, you don't see how popular those guys are and the numbers yeah. they're pulling on TikTok and Instagram. And the NHL is they're there in Vegas right now. They're leaning into that. And I think that the NHL is going to lean into them more than the video game. And
100%.
That's what I feel. That's what I feel.
And I think we talked about too. I said the biggest thing if I was them, I would, yeah, like I know NHL is the video game.
It's an easy thing. Like if you were to convince a board member that, oh, the video game, kids play video games, that's what it is. And I
told you the biggest thing that I remember always was letting these guys actually play in the NHL, play a video game they want to play. Or, mm-hmm. you know, the kids love Fortnite. So the biggest thing I ever saw was that Fortnite tournament. And yes, I know it was during COVID, mm-hmm. but they had like every team had like 3 reps from it. And they were all sweaty over a charity prize, but they were loving it because that's what they play. They play Call of Duty. They play this. They don't play NHL. Not to be mean, but a lot of them don't play NHL. Robert Thomas, and he even says like he'll play it for like a month or two, but then he doesn't even play it like that much. I don't think there's many dudes. It's a rare breed to find the Hendrix LaPierres.
Yeah, like, I was about to say, Hendrix LaPierre is the one I got.
He's
yeah.
like, what's the hot car? You know, like a lot of them don't do what we do. So even to like a 50th%, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So my point was like, maybe you could still have video games because and cater to a younger audience because a lot of people are like, oh, it's cool. The NHL's putting in Fortnite skins for, you know, yeah. the Dallas Stars have a jersey. I'm just making up something. Yeah, but you get what I mean. Like, I remember Fortnite put in some, like, NFL stuff, I remember.
They did it in NFL. They done FIFA.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. I think it's just catering that way. There's different ways to do it, but I agree. It's, yeah, it's just, I don't know. The whole thing, like I said, it's bittersweet. Like, I'm relieved from my standpoint because now it makes me feel like, okay, I could play 7 Hut Champs games this week and whatever.
Yes, that's you know, it. And it's funny because I felt like that of the last few years when I became the voice of it, I knew that I couldn't compete in it. So
yeah.
my like in personal interest was very little because I wasn't able to compete in it. And, you know, I got complacent. And I said in my tweet that, you know, I stopped trying to grow esports because I felt truthfully that it peaked. And, you know, that's on me, too. Like, that's me getting lazy and whatnot. But now when I found out that the GBC was done, obviously I was, you know, it sucks a little bit, you know, because I got to go to all over the world, man. I've been to Sweden, the Netherlands, Denmark, all because of the NHL video game. Like, and I never would have gone. And that was amazing. Nashville. I said this in my tweet. 2019 Vegas and 2023 Nashville are like core memories for me that I'll remember the rest of my life because those trips and those like just going out and all of that like was just perfect weeks. And that's something that the viewer doesn't see. Because the viewer is always like, it's a store in New York. Like, what are we doing here, right? But you don't see them the guys get to go to, like, MSG and, you know, get to go see a game, you know, that $800 tickets. The Stadium Series, those were $700 tickets. And you got to go, you know, like Henrique and Deli and all those guys, they got to go watch their favorite teams play outside at MetLife. Like, those are things that you don't see as a viewer, obviously. Right, but they did a great job at the LAN events for the players and bringing them in and giving them an experience that what you said. I don't know if they truthfully appreciated. I saw Polk's video. I don't know if you saw it. It's pretty like he got a little emotional and it got me a little bit because I just took the GWC for granted because I just assumed that it'd be every year because if it hadn't been canceled the last 2 years, I was like, man, they're just gonna keep it going because I truthfully thought that 2023 wouldn't happen. Just because esports as a whole, I'm like, it's my job. I'm in the industry. I could just see the writing on the wall for all esports leagues and what's happening. And it just, I could not believe that they kept doing it. And they doubled down, like, you know, like they invested more. And, you know, it was, I took it for granted a little bit. And I look back on that now, like I said, the, you know, Montreal, getting to go to those places with my dad, stuff that, like, you know, when he passes on, I'll still have, like, Nashville, Montreal with my dad. And that's something that the GWC gave me, and I'll appreciate that forever. Now,
yeah, I agree. Like, that Nashville trip was awesome.
Exactly, like, man. That was
we wouldn't have been able to hang out if we didn't.
And every minute of it was full. Hang out,
but yeah,
like, every minute was full. Right,
we were running around all day.
It was just great, and I'm sad that is good. Today, the draft. So the draft just happened last night. The first round, as of the time of this recording, and it was the first time since I found out about the GBC being over, being like, man, I'm not going to get to go to these things anymore. You know, and because I'm not going to get invited, at least in the current state. And the thing I'm kind of excited about is now I have to figure out a way, if I want to be involved in like events like that, I got to like change my way that I create content. Like, you know, maybe I got to strap some blades on my feet and just be like, yo, road to a slap shot on rollerblades.
But like, as you talked about, you said in March, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, and this isn't like I'm not trying to make a what was me for sleazy, because obviously like you said, you got to go to those places, but it does take a toll. Like, I traveled a lot last month for my, like, stuff at work. And like, when you have kids, I know the younger guys out here, they're like, I don't care. It's stupid. You're going.
You should travel if you're young, by the way.
I went to Dallas and Orlando, and I went to Chicago. And, I mean, I'm going, you know, all over the world. Like, feel like I'm going all over the world, but I'm really not. And I'm just, like, tired from, like, the flights. And I'm like, well, I kind of see, like,
the March.
So,
like, this is a thing of the NHL. They listened to the player base, and they said they wanted the tournament more condensed. And I thought that was a good thing. I remember when I was seeing it. And it was really good for the viewers. But, yeah, like, this is, like, personally, because no one else was affected except for, like, me, Grizz. I mean, Carlin didn't even come to the Europe one. And for anyone who doesn't know, like, in March, it was the European Championships at the first week of March. The next weekend was in New York for the North American Championship. There's a week off, but I had to go to Washington for a Caps thing. And then the following week was the World Championship in New York again. And we're talking like Thursday to Monday. And that I learned a lot about my life and like how I operate and things I need to change, because, man, I gained weight at an exceptional rate. Like, I didn't leave my room. I was so worn out. I didn't want to be anywhere. I just wanted to be at home. You're right. When you have a kid, man, and I'm a new dad. And, I don't know if it was Washington. It was like the third weekend in a row. I had a hard time putting my little boy down to go to go to the airport. Right. And, you know, again, like that's what was me stuff, but it was, you know, as personally, like that'll be nice to, you know, not have to do all of that, going forward for the next little while, but who knows? Sure. You know, but who knows? And we'll see how. I said this in my lengthy tweet. I got a little fired up. I'm kind of excited because now I know for a fact, because a lot of the top end players I'm either friends with or I've spoken to number of times. You know, whether they think I'm their friend or not, that's fine. But I've had an open relationship with, like, you know, many of the players that play the game at the top end. And so I know, like, I hear their you know, their real takes on things. And there will be a just craving of competitive play because there's nothing now, right? So everyone assumes GWC's gone. Every event's gone. There's no events. It's just Hut Champs. That's it. And I don't think that's the case. Like, if the Cavs, I am going to make sure that any NHL team that wants to do a 1v1 event, that I will try and make it as best as possible. The thing that we get now is we get freedom to how the event runs. For anyone that isn't paying attention or hasn't been paying attention, which is a lot of you because the game's over with for the most part, the Blue Jackets are running an event on LG right now. Tris and myself have been in a lot of talks with EA, and Tris built something that allowed us to get information on 1v1 games, like stat tracking, at a very base level. And it's just kind of a test right now. But imagine being able to do events where your shots on goal are tracked, how many penalty minutes you get are tracked, an up-to-date, accurate ELO leaderboard based on performances that are all tracked, and it doesn't have to be input by anyone. We're able to make any format we want. For anyone that played in the Leafs event, Tris built a Discord bot where you queued in Discord and immediately found a game and then went on and played, and then you can track it automatically. Like, which was by far, from my understanding, the best player experience that we've had in NHL esports was that event, really was the Leafs event, right? And yeah. I think when Trish showed me that he built this Discord thing, I was like, bro, you need to sell this to FIFA or like organizers. I don't think he realized how big it was. And so there's a lot of things that we can now do that are far more maneuverable because we don't have to work with like legal of the NHL. We don't have to worry about signups and you know how those things are. So I don't think the competitive scene is dead at all. I think that the monetary amount that you can earn in a year is far more drastically reduced. But newsflash, only one person's making 50 grand this year, right? Which, you know, everyone thinks they have a shot at it, but they don't. And that's the reason why the tournament is no longer, I think. Like,
that's why I put on my tweet.
Oh, yeah. Like everyone's got to go on Indeed.
I said, well, Indeed and Monster Jobs will be a little bit busy this afternoon. Yeah. Like, that's because, dude, the people that out there that literally thought, like, this is my salary for the year. It's like, newsflash, one person gets that. When, like, maybe
I think
other
it was a justification. I think it was a justification to being good at the game. And now you're going to have to prioritize if you want to spend as much time as you do being the best at something. Because there's still value in that. Like, Polg's the best player in the world. No one can take that away from him. In 2024, no matter what Polgs goes on to do in his life, he was the best player in the entire world at the NHL video game. And a lot of people won't care about that, but that's a feat that only one person could accomplish in the world, and he did it. So, like, there's still like a feat to that, and all those old guys that grinded versus leaderboards. I used to love grinding versus leaderboards, and I was never great. I would just, at the end of the year, try and get to top 100, and then I'd fall out. But once I got to 100 one time, I would just, like, that'd be it. And I think that that's, you know, but those are forever because you can see it, right? And I think that there's gonna be a major shift in interest. The other thing I think is that I think that there'll be a lot more creators, or it'll force pro players who just focus on winning to, you know, maybe show their personality a bit more, figure out ways, fun ways to create content, whether that's streams or YouTube. You saw it with Eki. I think, dude, the tournament just lined up with Eki's life so well. I got to be honest with you. He turned 18, I think, when the GWC started. He won it and was able to dominate Europe all the way through. Now he has a kid, and now he's going to transition into being more of a YouTuber. And I just think that works out perfect for him. And that's what I did that a few years ago. I stopped, you know, kind of caring as much about, you know, this is how you absolutely score every single goal in NHL. And I'm like, to more of like, you know, hey, you want to be out of Division 5? I'll show you how to get to Division 2. And, you know, the more the player base is, appreciates that than the guys trying to just dominate, you know, the game at the highest end. Because the more and more higher you get, the less and less it is like hockey. And that's another issue with EA. But like I said, I think that this forces EA to give us a leaderboard or something. I would be blown away if there isn't a leaderboard or something competitively. I also think that there's a chance that maybe EA runs a tournament. And I think that why that's so much better is because every time you add a friction point, you lose player base. So why it would be good if EA could run a tournament is it's all in the game. You don't have to go to Rivals to sign up, and you don't have to go outside of the game, and it's just you queue in, and yes, there's server issues and disadvantages via ping and pay to win and all of that, but I feel like it's just in-game, and everyone's got to deal with it, and is maybe not as serious, and maybe you get to go to EA like the Purple Cobras did 10, 15 years ago. You know, maybe it's sixes. Maybe they do a sixes something. Cause I don't think that EA will just let competitive NHL die. Maybe this year. I mean, we've seen that they definitely want to go towards a more younger, like arcadey audience. So maybe they don't care about it.
Maybe it's virtual banners.
Maybe I've been banging the drum for that since I began Game Changer, man. Just bring back the opening ceremony. If you won a Hut Champs week, like that is from what I can see the easiest way to give 100%. That people would love that. So, you know, it's sad the GWC is done. I'm a little surprised. I am, because I figured it would have been canceled 2 years ago, and I just thought that it would just run. And I think that myself, as along a lot of other players, took it for granted. And we'll look back on the GWC era in the last 7 years as the best era of NHL esports. But I wouldn't be surprised in 6-7 years, there's a new company or something that puts on a $100,000 event, and they do something else. And the next thing will come. You know, the Virgin Series was, what, 2011, 2012?
Yeah.
And there was nothing until, what, 2018? So 6 years.
It's fine. If we've already, like I said, that's why I made that joke about that tweet. It's like, if you're trying to make your whole life on this game, it's like, guys.
And very few people are doing that.
Like, you know? Like either you either got to do what Sleaze is doing or nothing.
I bet there's a relief. I bet there's a lot.
I'm not going to lie. To be blunt, that's what you have to do if you want to make a living on this game. Is do what Sleaze does. Henry.
You have to be a content creator. Like
you can't like just like win. And there's not like enough things. Like I was making a joke to you, like the number one prize for like a GWC prize. There's like dudes that are coming in like 8th, 10th, 9th place, whatever, in other sports game or not sports games, but video games for esports or whatever, and that's their prize. So it's like there's not enough money in this to like make a career off it, you know, just playing competitively. So
no, I agree.
There was people that literally thought they could.
I think that a lot of the top end guys, like outside of the big like 5 to 10, where they have a shot at winning every year. Obviously, big hit for them because they have a shot to win every year. Like no matter what, like they just will. But for the other, you know, ranked 11 to 250 that think they have a shot at it, I think it's probably a relief. They don't have to grind hut day in, day out, and maybe that, you know, brings back some more enjoyment to the game. So, yeah, kind of big news, and we'll see what happens. But like I said, I'm not going to let NHL esports die. I've already talked to a few club representatives as well. I will make damn sure that there is NHL esports events for some sort of monetary prize, and I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure that every format is the best possible experience for the player, because now we get to focus on the player when we do all these events. So, all right, let's talk about the Panthers, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, okay. You've watched hockey your whole life, as have I. It's hard to let me ask you this. Can you watch a game with the same level of feeling you get when it's a Blues game?
I'd say more now I can. Yeah.
With okay, if it's not with Tkachuk or Petro.
Yeah, I mean, I was even fine with the Oilers winning because of McDavid and Draisaitl, because they need to win cups. Like, they have to.
But what I mean is, you know, Panthers are on the power play and you're nervous.
No,
that's what I was trying to get. Because I haven't experienced anything like that. Maybe a little bit for the Leafs. Again, I've talked about this a lot. A lot of people make fun of the fact that I you know, I speak my mind and that I enjoy multiple teams. But, you know, I would like to see the Leafs win a cup. I equate the Leafs to the Cubs.
Hey, like, you need to be like Biz.
That's over the top.
He's like, I'm actually like laughing the other day because Witt said that. He's like, yeah, he's like, he just goes into every arena and he just puts on the jersey and runs around.
Did you see like, R.A.? The Panthers just crushed them.
That was my favorite thing of the cup or the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's like, just what a lack of self-awareness. Like, I get it. You get invited by the Cates family. If anybody doesn't know, they're R.A., Twit and Chicklets. I'm sure you guys all saw the clips. And he went on the ice and the Tkachuks and Thornton from the Bruins.
It was Thornton. He was like,
he works for the Panthers now. They kind of like shoot him away. Like, buddy, you were cheering for the Oilers all series.
He's like,
no, but I picked you guys to start. But the Chicklets crew, and they got invited by the Cates family, who owns the Oilers, into their owner box. Well, obviously, you're not going to sit there and cheer for the Panthers in the owner box. Mm-hmm. But I think there's like a fine line where, like, if you're family friend, like if you were playing in the Cup final and I'm your boy, I'll go in the other team's suite, but I'm not going to be like rah rah rah. Mm-hmm. And he was rah rah rah, sloppy drunk, running around, riding the horse around the thing. I mean, he was going crazy and like that. And it's what's hilarious to me is, they almost blew a 3-0 lead, and during that tough stretch, they're sitting there watching this on social media and just fuming.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, and it was a crazy sequence of events
there.
So funny. So the first three games happened, and I watched – I told you I go to bed at like 9:30 now. I watched – most of the games were over early, except game one I watched in the entirety, and it was like, Jesus, how did Edmonton not win that? And that was really why they lost the series, because that game, the Panthers stole – Bobrovsky stole – but the next two, and then game four was like a blowout. God, this series is boring. It gets tough. And I was like, Panthers are just going to win. Like, regardless how many games this goes, I talked about this a lot now as I've gotten older, especially when it comes to gambling. I used to be addicted to gambling in my early 20s, and so I'm very careful with it now. So I will never bet. I never like betting on things that just don't happen. Like, for example, I've learned my lesson. The Toronto Maple Leafs, I will never bet on them to win it past the first round. It does not happen, and this isn't a shot at the Leafs. It just, historically, we have now seen that the odds of it happening are very low. A team coming back from 0-3 Doesn't happen. I unfortunately got to experience in 2014, which led to me burning $3,000 worth of merchandise that I had owned of the Sharks in what I call the fan exorcism. And, dude, I couldn't believe that. That was a month into dating my wife. She saw this absolute psychopath sit there, watch this game, melt down, box up all my shit, and just burn it in my fire pit outside. Now thinking back, I'm like, she was like, yeah, dude, I thought you were kind of fucking stupid. Like, I was like burning jerseys and pucks. And anyways, so I was like, there's no way Edmonton comes back. And then obviously the way that they win in games, like they're dominating. It just, it, game seven was the best non-Sharks game I think I've ever watched. Because you had history. You had, there's no way they're going to choke. You had McDavid just dragging them to the cup, like to the cup, which never happens in hockey. Like, we can talk about, you know, Gretzky and all the great players of the NHL. The sport is not one that can be done by one person. It's, unless you're a goaltender, I guess. But even then, they can't score goals. So, you know, it's not like the NBA where one person can just take over, or a quarterback in the NFL can just immediately make you a Super Bowl champion. And what we were seeing in games four and five was just McDavid like, I'm not losing this damn thing. And, what a great game. Dude, I don't know how Edmonton didn't score that last 6 minutes. It had me nervous. It had me like, dude, oh my God. Like, it was the first time since 2019 that I've been that excited about a hockey game before. So kudos to the Panthers for somehow getting it done. I can't imagine. Like, have you talked to Matthew?
I did, yeah. We texted like 2 or 3 days ago. I just congratulated him, and then...
Just, I'd love to be like,
he was laughing about RA because I was like, that was hilarious. Like, ha, 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 like, and, but that's the type of person he is like, my friendship with him is mainly just because of skating, but it's not like we're not going out and boys and like super tight by any means. It's not even close to me and Petro, but it's one of those things like we grew up in the same area. I'm older than him, obviously, but I've skated him a decent amount. So it's like he's always have dude to get back to me, even through all that. It's like, he didn't have to even text me back. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. He probably had 1,000 texts. Like, so it was, but he's a good dude. Like, he always, him and Brady are just, I know people, like other fans will roll their eyes and like hate them because they're kind of like Marchand. They're kind of, you know, they're
oh
just,
yeah. They're not. They're yeah. Physical, they're everyone's they're, most hated yeah. player until they're on your team.
But they are good dudes. Like, I know people like will roll their eye, but they are good guys. Like,
How cool
is that, by the way, Brady? That was pretty sick.
Okay, I want to address that real quick. So as someone, again, not like you, we don't talk to them regularly. Yeah. I got to hang out with them at the media tour last year.
Yeah,
and
I forgot,
dude, it was, I don't have a brother. I have a stepbrother, but I didn't grow up with a brother. These two were just brothers. Like, Brady was the whole time I hung out with him for like 30 minutes. We played NHL. It's probably one of my favorite clips. Like, I'll show my son that. Like, the media tour, something. Yeah, like, and it was just hilarious to watch because they told me, hey, let them just like, you know, for this one, because I was doing one-on-ones with everyone, but Matthew and Brady came together and they were like, just kind of like poke the conversation and just try and get them to go. I really didn't have to do anything. They were just like joking about each other. Like, I asked them what it's like playing each other. And Brady was like, you know, now that we're in the same division, it's awesome. Like, I just love it. And you see that one game where they, like, were just beaking at each other, like, when they had that big brawl. Not them two, but the Panthers and the Sens. And, anyone shitting on Brady for celebrating, like, you don't have a sibling. That's, like, simply it. And I don't have a sibling. But after hanging out with them in the summer, I can understand. I can see it. Like, you can just see it. It's very, you know, and now the question is going to be if Brady stays in Ottawa. And, I don't, it's odd because I think that he takes the captain stuff seriously, but I think that Matthew started a trend for American born players to not, we've talked about this a lot. The allure of playing for a Canadian franchise is at its lowest, I think.
Yeah.
And that's the political landscape. That's the world landscape, financial landscape. You know, it used to be you got to play in Montreal or Toronto, and you do that regardless of your quality of life, you know, outside of hockey. And now that really isn't the case because, you know, as much, I think Montreal and Toronto are still the ones and a little bit, maybe Vancouver. But you know, Ottawa is not one of the premier destinations.
No.
And we've talked about this before. as someone from Canada, like, it's funny, everyone thinks I just hate Canada. I'm just someone who is in their mid-30s, and you experience what life is like, and then you go and travel to the U.S. and see what the possibilities are, and the U.S. is not perfect, but no. What you can live, the no winter, for, I feel like Canadians that have never traveled south, they don't understand the never having to warm up your truck. And, so, little inconveniences that you never have to deal with. And that weighs on people because as you get older, you've got a wife, you've got kids, right. You're going to bring your kids out of school. Like every time you get traded, all that, like it's all different.
Even living here, we don't have that bad of winters, but like Petro's out in Vegas. I'm like, dude, it's like nice in December. Yep. The kids can just run out in the on the AstroTurf because it's Vegas. Mm-hmm. And they can just play outside in shorts and a t-shirt, and we're here, you can't do that in the wintertime without being cold, obviously. And like Matthew, I know I was talking to him like months ago about this, like, dude, they drive their golf carts mm-hmm. to the rink now.
Yeah,
I mean, and if that, it's amazing what's happened down there, because like you put out a tweet about who would have thought this, like about the Panthers.
Oh, dude, and I got like so many angry idiots. Like, that's why I hate Twitter now. Anyways,
yeah, I know. You just get the, and now you get the like the fake like likes and every. It's just like all the dumb. It's whatever. So but it's so true because, and it's still anybody that's like ever not realized this, like go on Google Maps and go look at where their arena is. It's literally next to the swamps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by a mall.
Yeah.
If they ever put that arena where they're, if go look at their new practice facility where it is in Fort Lauderdale, if they move it
to Fort Lauderdale, dude, that's it.
It will like, be yeah. them and the Lightning and the Vegas Knights and Dallas and
Anaheim.
And all these teams are just going to run the league because it's not anything against like you said, like the kid, like there's always going to be the Montreal. There's always going to be the Toronto. There's going to be the
Max prestige. Domi. There's prestige. Yeah,
there's going to be the Max Domies of the world. And then there's going to be the team that will break the curse in Toronto. It will happen.
I think that's part of it too. Like players that think about
like being Ruby 100% wants to do that. I know he does. Like he's already done it here. What else do you have to prove, right? So he's going to go there and try and do it there, and I think he will. I don't know.
If you win a cup with the Leafs, you will get a statue. All 23 players. Like, even if you're a bench guy, you are getting a statue on Yonge Street, and I think that's something that, like, is definitely important.
Look at the Cubs. I mean, like, when they won. And by the way, I got
that's
to go
what
to
I wanted to say. Yeah, like, yeah.
I forgot to tell you about that. So we took my – well, that, sorry, this is a whole other tangent, but I'm going to do it real quick. But we went off to Chicago. My daughter, we took her to American Girl Doll. My mom and my wife did, which is a doll place that's like famous in the United States.
Super weird that a girl, like a boy dad, has no idea what that is.
You will find out eventually. Like, if you guys end up having a girl, or you'll just see it. Like it's just a really popular brand. People out there know what I'm talking about. So they went. So me, my son, and my dad, which is pretty cool. We got it was a pretty cool pick because we don't get to take a lot of picks together. And like
same.
And it was just kind of like one of those things where it's like, oh wow, there's like. My dad, I heard my dad say, like, and he's kind of like your dad, where, like, I met your dad, not going to show much emotion, not going to, like, talk about feelings much, but my dad's like, yep, third generation, I heard him, like, mention it, and he was like, you could tell he's, like, proud.
Yeah,
he's
got a little puffed up chest.
We got a picture, and we got to go to Wrigley with Cubs and Cardinals, ironically, weekend.
That's sick.
It's really cool, because Chicago's only, like, 5 hours away, so we actually flew up, which was nice, because with the kids, I'm like, avoid the drive, avoid the train, whatever way you want to go. Mm-hmm. And like we had to just fly up, and we had to try out Fisher on the plane. He did great, but it was Wrigley Field, man. Like it, I'm going to the Winter Classic in January, by the way. So we're going up there for that because the Blues play the Blackhawks, and it was really cool. It was like eerie. It's like I want to go to Fenway now because it's like you see it in video games, mm-hmm. you see it on TV, and you're kind of just like so numb to it because. ESPN just plays the crap out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the green monster, the ivy, like all these places that we always see. But until you're like sitting there and you're like, holy crap, like dude. This thing's like over 100 years old and it's still modernized, like a new park to some degree. Obviously, there's still the troughs in the bathroom.
I was about to say, dude, like, you're still pissing in a line.
Yeah, but like, the stuff outside the stadium, it's like they have like their kind of version of like Ballpark Village, which we have like Wrigley Field, like Xfinity Live. It's mm-hmm. all those types of like setups. And it was really freaking cool. Like, it was actually, like, the first time in a long time at a sporting event where I was like, this is pretty sick. Like, even it's a random day game, and it's packed, and, like, it was cool.
It's funny you say that, because, like, I've been to Fenway 3 times now, like, 3 different weekends. And I remember my first time I went, it was for my buddy's bachelor party, who's a gigantic Blue Jays fan. There was 12 of us, and I'm the only Red Sox fan. But it was great for me. We went down to Boston for the weekend. And I remember the very first game we went to was a night game. A night game at Fenway Park, if you're a sports fan, like, is just something that you should be on your bucket list. As you get older and you get a little more adult money, regardless of where you live in North America, if you love baseball, even if you don't, you need to go see, you know, a night game at Fenway Park because, dude, you're right. It's just eerie, bro. And it's almost like run down, but like the history of it makes up for it, you know, because you're sitting on crappy seats and you look up at the monster, but the field is pristine. And then outside, you're right. Like, it was just, you know, you go down, you know, you go down like all the way down like Fenway, the street along Fenway. I can't remember the name of it now. And yeah, I agree. I think that Wrigley would be sick too with the ivy and the brick.
It's like, just so weird. It's like in the middle of a neighborhood. It's like we were driving. We couldn't. My daughter had to take the stroller. My dad's like, let's just go buy one real quick. And I'm like, all right, but like where? And then we were like, all right, there's a Target. Target didn't have one, of course. But dad's like, it's fine. We'll just carry them. I'm like, all right, this is going to be sucky. And we're like driving like from the Target, like just a 3-minute drive. And I was like, yeah, I think it's like going to be up here, like straight ahead, it says in the map. And it was just like, we're in a neighborhood. And it's like, boom, there's dead center field. And I'm like, what in the world? And we parked like right behind it. We paid like $40, but it was pretty sick. Like, I'm like, that's crazy. Like, it's in the middle of a neighborhood. It's just like one of those things where it's like, there's so many legends and like, there's so many clips you see. And it's like, man, that's the same ballpark. It's nuts.
It's
like, we're like the Cardinals. It's like, I've seen two iterations now of Busch, and it's, you know, you don't have the same kind of like history feel, you know, obviously.
I went to see the Red Sox play in, at Rogers Center in Toronto, 2 Mondays ago for Father's Day. It was the day after Father's Day.
Oh, nice. That's
awesome. It was dope. So, and I got to go with Rumpel, one of my mods on my channel. Yeah.
One of the head mods. With me.
With you. Kidding. Yeah. So we got to hang out. We got to hang out for a while. We've met a couple times, and, Rogers Center is something nice too. Like, I hate the Blue Jays with all my heart. It's funny. I hate them more than the Yankees, and I think it's just because I'm Canadian and I'm surrounded by the Blue Jays, and I like the Yankees. But another like venue where it's like when the dome is open and like the CN Tower is like right behind it. That's a view that's cool, crazy. Like, we got to go a month earlier. A buddy of mine won tickets to for the Ticketmaster Lounge. We got on field for batting practice. We got to watch Vladdy take swings and stuff. And when you sit right, I was standing right behind home plate, and like, I was like imagining like walking up and like what the players look at. And dude, like the CN Tower is like right there. Like, it's just a wild view. So is there? I was gonna ask
you to a game there.
It is dope. Because Toronto is one of the nicer. Now that I've been to so many big cities, in North America, I forget that Toronto is like the third biggest city in North America, but it is not crammed. Like, I think Philly, crammed, like just narrow. New York is the epitome of it. It's almost overwhelming. And after spending like 20 days there in a month, I got used to it. And you realize why it's so just the mystique of New York. But it's a little more spread out, a little more wide. Like, streets are wider. It's not as crammed. Toronto's a very nice city. But anyways, I was going to ask you this. Is there an NHL arena that has made you feel like that?
It really wasn't the Leafs. Because I was like, oh, the Leafs. It was actually the Bell Center.
Bell Center's up there for me. I honestly think UBS. I remember the first time I went there, like, I think the seventh game ever at UBS. It was because it was finished halfway through the year that UBS opened. And it's a castle. Like, it doesn't even look like an NHL arena on the outside. It legitimately looks like a castle. And then you walk in, and you can tell it was designed for hockey, and the concourse is gigantic. Like, you have the most amount of room. All of the bars and things are perfectly located. Like, it was just very well done. MSG is another one. It's the roof, you know? I think outside of it, it's, again, very crammed. And outside of it, it's like, reminds me of like an apartment building, you know. But then once you get in the arena, like actually in the dome, like in where the ice is, that's like, I remember sitting there and being like, and then like the other one is Vegas. Like, I hate that the Knights, but the anyone that's a hockey fan needs to go because it's a show. It's so Vegas. It's just a show. And the first 5 minutes of a Vegas Golden Knights game, you're ready to run through a wall.
It, it, it would be nice to have been out in Vegas, like you were saying earlier, for draft last night.
This one, yeah, the Sphere. I've been in the Sphere, but
it's like you're thinking, man, all that travel to get out there.
All
the travel back. My buddy goes to Vegas like every other weekend. I don't know why. He just loves to like party, and he goes to the Wynn. He stays at the Wynn, and then he's like, oh, this 2.5 hour flight. I'm like, yep. I'm like, that's the part that I would be like annoyed with. But last night, we got to talk about the draft, obviously.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Big night for you. That was the biggest night a long time.
Very weird, because the Sharks have never been like this high in the draft, and in the last few years they've been bad. They obviously got screwed because of COVID for the Stutzla pick. I want to point that out, by the way. When the Sharks for Carlson, they would have never gotten Stutzla with that pick had COVID not ended the season. By the way, I just want to make that very clear. The Sharks were third last when the season stopped, but all of their players, like Carlson was hurt, Burns was hurt, and they would have been fine. They would have finished like seventh. But anyways, their picks haven't been. And then last year they missed out on Bedard. There was a top four, but Will Smith was clearly like the number four of Fantilli, Carlson, and that. So it was like, sick, we get Will Smith. Kind of a letdown, though, because it's not the other three, right? The excitement going, stoked we got Will Smith now. This year, getting Macklin, I'm so pessimistic. I'm like, this guy, I even said it on stream. I was like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think that he is Slavkovsky or Lafreniere, where it's like bust, even though I don't think Lafreniere will end up being a bust. I think that he'll be a great NHLer, but not maybe a first overall, what everyone was expecting. I think that Macklin will be Nugent Hopkins. And not because I've watched him play or anything like that. It's just my own pessimism of being a sports fan for so long, because unless you're a Red Sox fan or a Patriots fan, like I am in those sports where you just assume winning every year. In hockey, as a Sharks fan, I just assume that it's never going to work out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. Like, you don't have.
I hope he's like a Jack Hughes for you guys.
I think that my favorite thing is when like creators and people that just watch hockey put out their like draft lists and whatnot. No one's watched a single second of Junior. So like, I find that cringe just as much as like, I know you do. And I didn't watch Macklin play at all other than like little clips. But it was nice this year, because I did do a season of working for the Niagara Ice Dogs, and I've watched all the OHLers. Watching it as a fan is so much different than what I did this year, because I had to cover a team. So every night I would get the media kit, and I would take a picture of it every game on my Instagram. But I'd get a media kit, and it would show who the top OHL prospects are and who's drafted by NHL teams. And then while I'm watching the game, I'm not watching it as a fan following the puck. I'm watching like the players, and I'm not a scout or anything. And I never played hockey growing up, so I'm still learning what makes a good player, like what good edge work looks like, and what clean breakouts, right, and who makes the good first read. And I'm learning that. And I got to watch it. It was the first time going into this draft where I'm like, hey, I have like my own input or takes on this player looks better than this player. I firmly believe that Zane Parekh, who ended up going to Calgary, has the ceiling of a Norris Trophy winner and the floor of Ryan Merkley, because his defensively when he played the Ice Dogs was not there at all, and it's been talked about a lot, but he's also kind of dirty. A lot of stick infraction penalties, a lot of after the whistle slashes, like, but offensively he's unbelievable. But doing that in the OHL compared to the NHL is far different. I think he'll be fine, but like I'm so much happier that Dickinson became a Shark, because he's going, from every time I watched him play, he is just a rock solid top four defenseman. Like, I can see, like, I bet you that he has the better NHL career. Well, won't ever win a Norris, but will be Jacob Slavin at his ceiling. And at his floor, it's like, the top four, like, Alec Martin, or Shea Theodore, maybe, like somewhere along those lines, like it will be an NHLer. So as the draft's going along, I tweeted out, this is what I want to happen. It was like, number one, I want Macklin. At the 14th pick, any of the top six defensemen. And then at the bottom of it all, I was like, God tier move. Mike Greer trades the 14th pick in 42 and 53, two second rounders, to move up into the top 10. Then they move up and they get the 11th pick. And it's funny, as an Ice Dog fan, Dickinson gets booed every time he touches the puck, because it was funny. Sam Constantino, I think, the second that they drafted Dickinson, who, by the way, I was ecstatic for, and I'm so excited the Sharks got him, because they ended up leaving with the best overall player in the draft and one of the best defensive prospects in the draft, and the Sharks, in my opinion, won round one. but it's hard to lose when you get the best player of the draft.
Greer's doing good.
He is doing a fantastic job. I agree. And but anyways, the Dickinson thing, Sam Constantine goes, London saw him get drafted by Niagara and immediately said, we need that guy, and traded 7 picks. I'm just like, dog, that's not what happened. He didn't want to play there and forced it. Like, it's just that narrative. I just laugh because I know now because I follow the team and whatnot. So right. As an Ice Dog fan, it was like, didn't want Dickinson. But now next year when London plays the Ice Dogs, just like Quentin Musty, I was more excited last year when Quentin Musty got drafted by the Sharks than Will Smith, because I got to see Sudbury play a bunch. Dvorsky, by the way, is also nasty for the Blues. And I got to watch them play a bunch against the Ice Dogs, and now I get to watch Dickinson absolutely destroy the Ice Dogs. And the last thing for the draft, the only other thing I care about now is in the third round, I want Kevin He, who is the Niagara's best player in years, to get drafted. He's probably going to go in the third or fourth round. He's at the Sphere. Nicest kid I've ever met. And I think he might be the first ever player drafted from China. I don't think he was born there, but of the Chinese descent. Like, if they did a thing on him, one of the best skaters in the OHL. Like, it's incredible, and it's been so fun to watch his entire junior career. Last year was his rookie season. I had season tickets. I watched him every game, and this year I got to see him, evolve. And if the Sharks get him in the third round, I'll lose my mind. I'll lose it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always remember this night for the Sharks because, the guy's screaming in the background.
Dude, that was great. It was funny. He had one of those, like, awful, like, Etsy cut-off sleeve basketball jersey. Yeah. Dude, I was howling when they showed him because of the opening of it. It was like, let's go, shoot! Like, and you could hear it.
I just love, too, like, no cursing.
Nope.
Like, so it was all clean.
Yep.
And it could be like, they could keep it on TV. They let it roll, and it just made it so like fun.
David Ambers trying to talk, and it was like, let's go, Joe. Like, it was just, I was laughing.
Was
just
like it was like your biggest fan ever.
And
like,
they showed him. I couldn't believe they showed him on TV, but you're right. He didn't swear anything. And that was
by the way, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And it's the NFL that does it every – well, no, now they're moving it around. They used to do it in Music City every year, like in New York or whatever. I wouldn't hate if they did it every year at the Sphere.
It sucks, though, because the in-person draft is, like, gone now. This is the last year of it, and I agree. I was at the last two drafts, and an NHL arena is not set up for the draft very well. Like, it just isn't, because
last night looked good.
It was incredible. Like, like I said, it was the first time since the news of the GWC where I was like, oh man, like, I could have been there, And I hope that they do it every year there, because it looked amazing. But I don't know now. Like, I think the plan is the players go, but the teams don't, because the big thing is that the free agency is in 2 days and teams need to now fly back, and they need to, I think that's
the Panthers and Oilers really got,
bro, kind of dude, scared. Like, that's awful.
Like, how long the season took. But honestly, like, we got to do an episode here in the next week after the first kind of, because it's always like the first 2 days of free agency then everyone just goes, home.
Friedman and Sarah Valley shut down for the year.
Yeah. And they already said like 90% of the big names are signed already.
It's Stamkos and Gensel.
I know. I'm so curious to see where Stammer goes. And I don't know. I was looking at my phone when we were doing this, and apparently Trouba, and I told a young Nip and Biscuits about this. I said, dude, I wonder if he goes back to Detroit. Cause he played in Michigan. He's from there. And like, they could get him on a, like a retained deal. Yep. I'm so curious what the Rangers are doing, though. Like, they got rid of Goudreau to you guys for
that
nothing.
That was a gift, by the way. And as a Sharks fan.
What a gift for them, right?
Mm-hmm. I was a little annoyed because it's like, dude, you just gifted the Rangers because they had to buy him out. But I guess the Sharks need, I'll speak to as a Sharks fan. He is not worth the money, not even close.
No.
But he wouldn't have waived his no movement clause to go there. Which I guess is like a thing right now. Like, that's, they were going to trade for him and then like there'd be retained money or something, but he wouldn't accept. And they were like, this is a way around it. Like, he had a no trade clause. So it's like, he scored probably the biggest goal in the Sharks history. And they need bodies. They need bodies. Yeah. And they need bodies. And the cap hit is a joke. The Sharks don't have a cap. Like, they have to get to the floor. So would I have loved to see him be traded to the Sharks and they tacked on a third? The Wallman trade, something has to come out about that. Either he has a degenerative injury and the Sharks knew it and they're like, that's fine, we'll take a second. But he is one of the better contracts, like, to, like, I don't know how it didn't cost the Sharks a second.
Did I ever tell you the story about him?
Wallman? No, I forgot he was a Blue, to be honest. I forgot he was so good as a Blue.
I'll tell this real quick, because I know we're probably going a little longer, because we haven't been around in a while, but we haven't been around. me saying that, you're a liar every day. I've skated with him. He got called up, and I skated with him that morning. There was a Blues game. It was like an afternoon game. Me and my wife were in the concourse. I think my daughter's with us. Like, she was real little. We're walking around doing the concourse rounds, and I see him standing in the concourse in the upper deck, and he's standing there in line for food. And I go up to him, and I'm like, Wally, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just getting a hot dog, you know, because like I couldn't get. I'm like, dude, there's like a whole buffet downstairs. I just didn't know if I could go down. I'm like, yeah, you're a player.
He's nervous.
He was literally getting hot dogs from a concession stand. Like, I was like, what? This guy plays, well, he's not, he wasn't in the NHL at the time, but he was like a call-up.
That's so
funny.
Because
he was pretty hyped up out of college, out of Providence. Yeah. And then, like, I think it was just one of those things where it took a while, and it almost needed, like, a change of scenery.
His last year with the Blues, he was like that. Because I remember when Detroit got him, it was like, man, that's a solid trade. And then he was Sider's deep partner for the majority of the year.
Yeah.
Like, he got hurt, could not understand. Like, obviously,
it's been a pretty good trade for both teams, I think. Like, well, from my standpoint, at least, I think like Nick Leddy's been a lot more solid than I thought. For only like $4 million, he's a great skater.
Four million now is like $6 million because of the
new dude. I know, it's funny because at Parayko, everyone was like coming off that. It's like he makes $6.5 million. I'm like, Colton Parayko at $6.5 million for the next 7 years is a steal. Like, I'm gonna go on a limb right now. Because of Doug being the GM, I wouldn't be surprised if Parayko somehow sneaks on Team Canada.
You could see that. I could see that, too.
Remember how, like, Bomeister made it? And everyone's like, everyone's like, wait, Subban has to play over him because he scores all these points. Mm-hmm. Well, Bo played over him in Sochi. And, like, it's just, I'm excited for the Sharks. So I'm kind of like, back when I was a child, like, I used to love staying up for the Sharks games because I love their goal horn. I love their goal song. I love Randy Hahn. I had the NHL pack. They were so fun to watch. Chichu and Thornton and all them. And, like, so I would always, like, stay up late watching because I'm, like you said, I stay up late all the time. I'm actually, like, excited to see, like, Will Smith. And I'm excited.
Last year was tough. Like, because all it was Eklund. And because they didn't put – Greer made a point to not put anyone – he wanted everyone to play in the AHL because they knew the team was bad except for Eklund. So it was the only thing to watch for, really, because Meyer got traded, and then Hurdle got traded. But now Will Smith's coming, and Macklin stays, like,
Would you go after Askarov?
To be honest, I actually, had the 14th pick not been traded for the 11th, I was like, I'm.
I mean, dude, I was thinking about that last time with the Sharks. It's like, that's a team right there.
I think that today.
You don't want to ruin him, obviously, because if he gets to the Sharks, he's going to get lit up this year.
It's 9:20 in the morning right now, Eastern time. The second round starts at 11:30 in 2 hours from now. I will be stunned if the Sharks on the 53rd pick do not take Carter George, Ryerson Linders, or Ilya Nabokov. Nabokov is not related to Evgeny. Those are the three best goalies in the draft. I would be blown away if that, and they're all like in the second round and below, if that 53rd pick is not one of them. Because, yeah, I agree. When Askarov became, but I saw that they wanted like a top 10 pick. Goalies don't get that, man. Like, we are running a little bit late here. We got to do reactions.
We'll be back this
week.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's like I said, we'll be doing it more. I'm going to try to get some interviews too.